Okay, welcome back. It's Monica Murphy here on Mind Your Own Business, and I'm delighted to introduce my guest this afternoon. It is Catherine Ryan Howard. So I mentioned at the outset of the show that the analogy here is that writing and publishing books, marketing your material, selling it, networking, it's all very like what the skills and the requirements to run a business. So I thought, why not talk to Catherine and see, first of all, if we can learn more about who she is and what she does, but also to get some advice and tips from her from that kind of business perspective as well. So you're very welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You are very welcome. So Catherine, you're originally from Douglas, is that correct, in Cork?
That is, yeah.
Excellent.
Grange in Douglas.
Grange. And so Catherine's, have you always wanted to be a writer? Let's start with that question.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I wanted to be a writer before I understood what being a writer actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a picture on my desk that was taken when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and it's me typing away on the typewriter that Santa brought. So before I had any idea of what was involved, I knew that's what I wanted to.
That's fantastic, yeah. And your debut thriller was a book called Distress Signals. Tell us a little bit about that and the accolades that it has achieved for you over the years.
Well, Distress Signals is best described as a book about a serial killer on a cruise ship.
Oh.
So I read an article about, my mom gave it to me, actually I'm like contractually obligated to say that. My mom gave me a magazine in which there was an article about cruise ship disappearances. And I read about this thing called the International Cruise Victims Organization.
Mm.
And I had never been on a cruise. I had, very faint ideas about them. But I thought, victims of what? And why are there so many of them that this organization has to exist? So I started researching, and I came to the conclusion that if I was a serial killer, the best way to get away with murder would be to try and do it on a cruise ship. So that's what the first novel was about. And thankfully it did really well. It was published on both sides of the Atlantic and has been translated into a few languages. And it was shortlisted for the Irish Crime Novel of the Year and an award called the CWA John Creasy Dagger.
I see
and
that.
And it was also optioned for TV. So
excellent.
Very lucky out of the gate with that.
And your second thriller there, The Liar's Girl, so that's been nominated for a pretty significant award in the US, the Edgar Award. So my limited knowledge of this, it's like the Oscars for mystery writers in the US. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's what I've been saying anyway, so.
Good.
I think that's a good description. And I go to New York next week to find out whether or not I have won that.
Oh,
fingers crossed.
And tell us a little bit about The Liar's Girl.
So The Liar's Girl was also inspired by an article I read, and it was the article was about a Swedish serial killer, and he loved confessing to what he'd done. He would tell people over and over and again, but then he just one day went quiet for 10 years, and when he spoke again, he said, "I've left out the worst bit." And I just thought, if you could write a book where that blurb appeared on the back, that you have this terrible killer and he's confessed so many times, but actually it turns out he's left out the worst bit.
Okay.
And that's what The Liar's Girl is about, but transported to Dublin.
That's fantastic. So where do you do all this writing from? So are you based in Cork all the time?
No, I'm based in Dublin because I went back to university as a mature student. So I just graduated from Trinity last year. So I came to Dublin to do that, and I'm still here. So
congratulations, well done you. And so if we kind of move over into the business sphere, and I suppose this being a business show, even though I'm obsessed with books, so I could talk about your books all day. But if we talk about the similarities between running a business and being a writer, particularly somebody who self-published their first book, talk to me a little bit about the discipline and the drive and the belief required to make all of that happen. Really, I know you've probably good people around you, but it takes a while to get those people around you. So in the early days, how do you really, push ahead and carve out a career, not just a career now, but, maybe films, etc., for yourself out of really pretty much on your own at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that you almost have to delude yourself. It's, my brother is an actor, and it's something we've talked about a lot, that, you know, there's sort of a fine line between confidence and delusion, and you almost just have to convince yourself, despite all the evidence, that it's going to happen. Because the people in your life who, you know, have your best intentions at heart will say, look, you know, you should get a proper job, or the chances of this happening aren't great, and would you try and do something else? And I don't know where I got it from, really, but I just always knew, like, I was 100% confident that this was going to happen, and no one could steer me off that course.
So it was kind of like a little bit of touch of madness and delusion in there.
Yeah, and, you know, fake it until you make it.
Absolutely.
So I just had myself utterly convinced that it was only a matter of time. And truly, like, sometimes I used to say to myself, maybe I am crazy, and I would try and imagine my life where this didn't happen, and I couldn't do it. Yeah. I was just utterly convinced this was going to happen. And I think if you can cultivate that inside yourself somehow, you know, everything else will fall into place, because the people who are trying to dissuade you from doing it, or the odds, you know, something that writers face a huge amount is odds. People will tell you, oh, less than 1% of all books are published, and, you know, it's so hard to get an agent, and it's so hard to do this, and it's so hard to do that. And it is, but it does happen. It is possible, and you just have to make sure you're in that 1%.
Excellent. And that's really good advice for people who are aspiring maybe to own their own business and are thinking about doing that. And what did you do before you became a writer, I suppose? Were you, I know you worked in Disneyland for a while, but tell me a little bit about that, and what, you know, how you kind of got yourself out of that and into writing eventually.
Yeah, well, I did a few different things, but they were all kind of around travel and tourism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like working in various offices and things. So it was actually while I was in Walt Disney World in Florida that the first book that I finished, Mousetrapped, which was the first one that I self-published, came to be. So I just really, really, really wanted to write a novel, but I never had any good ideas. I think I was kind of obsessed with the idea of writing a novel, but I hadn't yet figured out how to do it. Mm-hmm. And this Mousetrap book, you know, came out instead, and I really just decided I'm going to self-publish this, and I'm going to do it properly. Because at the time, like, self-publishing had just gone digital, so you could sell your book online. I knew how to use social media. I started a blog, and I just decided, like, I'm not flogging this book. What I am doing is I'm trying to make connections with people, mm-hmm. so that they say, oh, she sounds interesting, I might buy her book. Mm-hmm. And that's always what I've done. I think, you know, the hard sell, it just never works. And
it's more about a story and helping. And
Social media is about connection. Like, the clue is in the title. Whereas if you go on and you just use it as a billboard, that's never going to work.
Yeah.
So I think I understood that from early on.
And I heard somebody recently say, just to go back to the point about that you knew it was going to work, that somebody said that they had to write, that it wasn't a case of it was a choice. It was just something that was pre-written in their destiny, and it was something that they had to do. It was like, you know, it was like breathing for them. It was just something that they had to do.
I don't know who said it, but there's a quote that says, like, if you want to be a writer, first try to be anything else.
Yeah.
Like, this will not happen unless you absolutely have to do it, because it's not easy. And even after you get published, there's huge ups and downs. So if you're, you know, in any way wavering, if you're in any way thinking, well, maybe I could be happy doing something else, chances are you won't stick with it. I think figuring out what you want to do and what you're supposed to do is just so important, no matter what, you know, stage of your life you're at, or what it is you're planning to do. Because if you're not following the path you're supposed to be, you know, are you going to have the drive to stick with it when things get really, really tough?
Yeah, and so there's a lot there for business owners as well in, you know, kind of doing something that you're good at, that you know that it's like an itch that you have to scratch. It just won't leave you alone. It keeps you awake at night. Yeah. And that's
something else I discovered as well when I started self-publishing, and I really think it was confirmation that I was doing the right thing, is all these like little skills I had that by themselves were totally useless were suddenly hugely useful for self-publishing. So like, I used to make little videos, I loved blogging, you know, there was all these little things that I could do that by themselves were not going to get me very far. But when I started self-publishing, I realized I had the skills that I needed. The things I was good at were going to help me achieve this thing.
And just don't
think that felt like falling into place.
And on those skills that you needed, right, to make it happen, so the things I was kind of thinking about that would be necessary for business owners would be that sort of deluded drive that you mentioned there, the discipline, the ability to be you know, professionally persistent, I suppose, in the face of people saying no to you or giving you advice against what you're going after. What would you say is the one thing that you have, if you were to pick one of those qualities, that's really stood well to you in your, you know, journey to becoming an international best-selling author?
I think it's hard to pick one, but I think something that perhaps I see a lot of aspiring writers fail to cultivate is professionalism. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a business at the end of the day. I remember starting my blog 10, 11 years ago, and no one was reading it, but I acted as if millions of people were.
Good.
So, you know, you see a lot of people when they start to share things online, they share all sorts of stuff about their private life and, you know, way too much information because they know no one's reading it. And then if things start to get popular, they pull back. Whereas I always acted like online, like my social media presence was someone, you know, was for someone who was way more successful than I, in order to keep that professionalism. And anytime I've dealt with agents or editors or other writers or anything like that, you know, this is a business. Like, this is my career. It's not a hobby. I don't just want to be a one or two book wonder. I've just recently signed a new deal for 6 more books in North America. So this is something I'm going to be doing, hopefully, for the foreseeable future. And it's really because I have always treated it like that. This has always been a long-term plan. And I think starting off from a place of professionalism has helped make that happen.
Excellent. And I can empathise with a lot of that there that you mentioned at the beginning. I remember when I started my business 8 years ago, I used to say to clients, we can do this and we can do that, even though there was only me.
That's exactly it. Like, that's such a great point to demonstrate, because why not? You know, why not? Fake it until you make it.
And then
you will make it.
One or two people who knew me would say, who's the we? And I'd be like, oh no, it's just me, but I want to appear bigger. You know, I want the business to appear bigger and more in that it's around for longer than it is, you know. So I remember thinking, like, it would be great to get to 5 years, and I could say, oh, we're 5 years in business. And now it's 8 years and we have, you know, pretty much 8 or 9 staff. So it's great to finally be there. But you do have to, that sense of professionalism, and this is, I'm taking this seriously, and you've kind of taken it seriously. And it is a little bit of deludedness there, where you're kind of
things like business cards, you know, where a lot of writers I know are quite embarrassed to get things like business cards because they feel like, oh shit, that's only, you know, I just write at the weekends or whatever. Not at all. Like, you have to put it out there into the universe that you are already the success you hope to become.
No, that's fantastic. So, look, the very best of luck in New York with the nomination for The Liar's Girl for the Edgar Award. We will be watching with interest and following you closely, Catherine. And I just think, you know, we could talk to you for the rest of the show about your books and your success. It's so fantastic to see, you know, a local, you know, hero when it comes to showing people what you can do when you've got the drive and the heart and the professionalism to do it. And I also should mention that this Edgar Award, Catherine is only the second Irish woman ever to be nominated for this award. So we all need to get behind her and stalk her on social media to see how she gets on. And Catherine, thank you so much for the interview. Where can we learn more about your... Actually, one thing before I let you go, I meant to ask you about was the Inspiration Project. When is the next one on, and how can we get involved in that?
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. We may be announcing our next event soon, and it may be in September in Dublin. So my website is CatherineRyanHoward.com, and all the information is on there about me and about the Inspiration Project.
Excellent. The Inspiration Project, just for our listeners, is, as far as what I can make it out, and it's kind of an event where aspiring writers come and get more of what we're talking about here from Catherine, and some practical steps into how they self-publish, how they write in the first place, and overcoming some of the obstacles when you're, when you maybe, I would imagine it can feel quite restrictive sometimes when you're hearing all this negative press about how hard it is to publish and how hard it is to get book sales. So it sounds like a lovely event. It's called the Inspiration Project, and check Catherine's website out for more details, and we will look forward to attending, hopefully in September. I'll be sitting up the front hanging off your every word. So Catherine, have a lovely weekend. Thank you so much. And Catherine's also agreed very kindly to give us a copy of her book, The Liar's Girl, which we're going to give away on our Facebook page, so keep an eye on that as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a lovely weekend. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Oh, wasn't that just a fantastic story from Catherine about how she's made it into the world of best-selling books, not just books, but and all starting as a self-published author.